Hi, I'm Scott Watson, and welcome to What Music Means to Me. The premise of this podcast, presented in episode one, is that there are all sorts of connections between music and life in general. In episode two, I shared some things that my wife and I really appreciate about what our kids have gotten out of participating in their school's music program, especially, of all things, marching band. In episode three, I pointed out how music, as a powerful language, can convey for performers and listeners what words cannot. In episode four, I demonstrated that important understanding can actually follow the seemingly mundane chore of hand copying, whether the subject is great music or great works of literature. In episode five, I presented an argument for why applied music study should be a vital part of every child's education. Episode 6 borrowed from our understanding of the natural, physical world to explain some things about the way we perceive all of music and the importance of rhythm in it all. In episode 7 and 8, I describe certain musical gestures called by music theorists non-harmonic tones, not as an end in itself, but to offer how these occurrences demonstrate in music something profound about the human condition. In episode 9, I tried to provoke you to think about how our everyday life experience is enhanced when we, and those around us, have a better understanding of that which is beautiful and excellent, something we can gain through involvement with music. The idea of making connections between music and life, of being a musician whose musical life is integrated into his broader life, is something I learned from my mentor, Dr. Ken Laudermilk. In the preface to his very excellent book, An Understandable Approach to Musical Expression, Ken explains that his goal is to identify musical concepts that enhance or beautify our music making. It is, in a very real sense, a search for truth. I don't think it is an exaggeration that truth about life can be seen in music. Ken modeled this to his students through illustrations and analogies he shared in trumpet lessons and rehearsals, such as one time when I was in high school and was butchering a solo that was supposed to be beautiful and lyric. Technical descriptions about emphasizing pickup notes and adding rubato here and there made it sound a little bit better, but it still sounded contrived. After working on it for a while, Ken finally remarked that I'd probably have to actually experience romantic love for myself before I could truly make this solo sing like it should. Later, after falling in love with my wife Kim, I knew what he meant. All this talk of life experiences and art reminds me of the famous allegory of the cave from Plato's Republic. Plato asks us to imagine these prisoners chained from birth in a dark cave facing a wall. People carrying statues of animals and talking walk behind the prisoners on a catwalk, and there is a fire burning behind them that throws off light. The prisoners grow up seeing the shadows of the animals dancing on the walls and hearing the voices of the people who carried the animal statues echoing off the wall. To the prisoners, the shadows they view on the wall is their only reality. The prisoners even find satisfaction playing a game, identifying the different shadows as they appear. But if they were freed from their chains and could go out into the sunlight, they would see life as it really is. The shadows on the wall would pale in comparison to the full-color, three-dimensional reality outside the cave. The illustration is profound enough without having to see a connection to art. And yet, one connection, even if a little incomplete, jumps out at me. Sometimes art attempts to portray or heighten our understanding of things that are really hard to know about, such as ancient times or undying love, heroic death or heaven and hell, the cosmos or even the eternal. Some of these things we can imagine more clearly than others, but some are impossible to know entirely, at least in this life. But nonetheless, I do appreciate the unique perspective that music can add. Seeing a scene in a film that portrays a king's heroism gives us some idea of this human quality. But seeing the same scene with a powerful musical score gets us even closer. Seeing one person's pure love for another in a movie scene can be expressive, but add to that a moving musical score and the experience is heightened all the more. To me, it's like the difference between watching shadows of a flower on the wall and seeing a full-colored picture of the beautiful blossom. But notice I didn't say seeing the actual flower. Although art enriches our lives, and even our understanding of life in many ways, it still's not the same as what Plato would call truth. To know about Johann Sebastian Bach is to know something about a creator of sorts, but not the creator. Still, the beauty and structure of a fugue by Bach, or perhaps one of his Brandenburg Concerti, makes me appreciate my creator all the more. And writing or performing a fugue myself gets me even closer. Hopefully you've seen a movie about heroism, or pure love, or charity, or anything else that's good and true. Cinematic, dramatic, and musical art intertwine to give you a better understanding of these things. But obviously that's not the same as being a hero, or being in love, or helping those in need. But when we take authentic life experiences that we've actually had and pour them into our art, the art is animated and made more powerful, more moving, and more evocative. So take time to get out of the cave, walk into the light, and really live. Be a hero, fall in love, help others around you, and make contact with your creator. Only promise me you'll still take time to practice your art, so you'll have the technique to express what you want to in a more powerful way when you have the chance. I know you have a lot to do, so thank you for taking the time to learn what music means to me. I hope music is, and stays, a part of your life. Until next time, stay in tune.